kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does, and I hope you're doing well. Thank you for tuning in to the Fifth Hour, because 4 hours on the overnight show are not enough, and you are in for a special treat on this edition of the Fifth Hour with me, Ben Maller, and David Gascon on the iHeart Podcast Network, because the OG, one of my inspirations to get into the wacky world of sports talk radio, is going to be hanging out with us, the great Tony Bruno, the legendary figure, Tony Bruno, the forefather of network sports radio. Tony started ESPN Radio and started Fox Sports Radio. And I've known Tony for years. I was very excited when I first met Tony because I'd been a big fan of his as a listener to Tony over the years. And then I got to know him a little bit. We worked together at local radio for a couple of years and then at Fox Sports Radio in the early days for almost 10 years or so at Fox Sports Radio. We were colleagues, so it's pretty cool to catch up with Tony. We're also going to have some grab bag at the end of this. We'll throw in some grab bag at the end and some questions. But Tony's back in the game. One of the reasons we're having Tony on is he's launching a new radio show on Sirius XM. And so why don't we start with that? Tony, tell me what this is all about. Give me the details. Give me the inside skinny.
It's a sports show without sports. I mean, we're going to try something different. You know, I could do political talk, but there's too much of that. I could do sex talk, and I'll probably do that late night. But a sports show without sports, it hasn't been done, and no better time to start a sports show without sports than right now, I would say, Ben.
And for those that don't know, like, when can they hear the show? It's on, give me on Sirius Satellite Radio. It starts next week from this weekend when we're recording the podcast, but it's going to be on every day, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a Monday, April 6th. So the next Monday coming up, April 6th, 3 to 6 in the afternoon, Eastern Time. That's noon to 3 in the West, and Monday to Friday. I'll be in there. My old buddy Harry Mays, who I used to do a show with in Philly for many, many years, he'll be on the show. Miss Robin will be there, just making sure everything goes straight. And it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, obviously you've been on Sirius. Anybody who's been on either Fox Sports or ESPN or any other, CBS, you name it, you know, those channels are all now broadcasted on Sirius so that... And you know, as you know, one of the best things is when you're on satellite radio, you know, the truck drivers who have always been out there making America move get a chance to listen and don't have to worry about finding another station when they drive 100 miles through the middle of America. So it's really a great opportunity for people around the country to be able to hear you. And with the app, of course, because the app's up for free now through the middle of May. So good time to listen. Everybody just wants to get their head away from the daily numbers and all the depression and all of the noise out there and just want to escape and have some fun every once in a while.
I know from the old days, Tony, for years there was always a joke in sports radio that the month that everyone wanted to take off was like July, right? Right around the All-Star game in baseball, there was nothing going on, and guys would be like, oh, I can't work. You know, there's not enough sports news going on. And now we're in this period of time where it's not that there's nothing, but you really have to be creative. And so I like it. I mean, you're going to do great, Tony, because you don't need a million things. You're able to be creative, but some of these guys are really struggling right now because there's just not a lot of meat on the bone.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, but it's not because they're not good at what they do or anything, but you know, luckily, you know, I was in LA with Andrew Siciliano the morning the 9/11 attacks happened, and we were goofing off and talking about the NBA, and all of a sudden we look up at our monitors and see, you know, the World Trade Center with a hole in it and the smoke coming out, and everybody thought it was a joke. So Andrew and I, with backgrounds and reporting and stuff, were able to transition and into from talking about sports into talking about the biggest story in our lifetime. And now we're in the same situation. I mean, everybody's affected by this. 9/11, we were affected as a country because we didn't know what was going on. And then sooner or later, it didn't take months and months and months before people were feeling confident enough to go out and not worried about being attacked and, you know, sports being back in business. So we don't know right now. That's the biggest uncertainty of this. This, compared to 9/11, is that we felt that the nation needed to get sports back. It wasn't that the leagues were all shut down purposely. It's that the decisions were made after a week or two, as opposed to now months and months and months. The prospect of losing an entire baseball season or losing the NBA and the hockey season. Again, in the real world, to the average person, that's not like, oh my God, sports is going to destroy the world. No, but there's so many people who rely on sports, not just for entertainment, not just for the fun of watching their favorite teams, but the people who work in these arenas and stadiums and the people who work and rely on sports. You know, the gambling people. You know, gambling became a really big deal now, so all these casinos are shut down. So it's not just sports here and there. It's everything that's involved. This entire country not able to do the things that we used to do. And while it was a similar situation for a couple of weeks with 9/11, it's now a situation where we're going month after month after month, and nobody knows when we're going to get back to anything that resembles being close to normal.
Tony, when you talk about that and what you're doing right now, you've made the unique transition, which a lot of broadcasters have not done, at least in the radio side of things, is going from radio to digital and then now to satellite. But what's that been like for you working on Twitch? Because I follow you and I know you from afar. And much like Ben, I didn't know who the hell Ben was. I started back in San Diego with iHeart San Diego. And lo and behold, I found out Ben used to work for the Mighty 690 back in the day when he first got started. But my impression of you from afar when you were here at Fox and now where you were at in the East Coast was you were a human firecracker. And you let it rip and you don't sugarcoat anything. And I'm kind of curious to the way that you operate now compared to what you were like at Fox and how you've been on other platforms as well.
Well, I don't ever think I've changed. I mean, one of the things that I've tried to be consistent at is staying the same. I mean, times change. Digital obviously came along. A lot of guys in my age group in their 60s, a lot of the old school radio guys, you know, like, I don't want to do Twitter. I don't want to do social media. And I knew back 5, 6, 7 years ago, and I got on Twitter in 2009, so we're talking 11 years now. And so I've embraced it because that's the way everybody is doing business now, especially the younger generations. You know, I don't want to just program to 65-year-old guys, and I've never been that way. When I was on Fox, I'd take calls from 13-year-old kids listening out there. I mean, you know, things that most stations wouldn't do. Don't ever put a kid on the air. Oh, my God, we can't do that. So it was not called pushing the envelope. It's about just having fun, and I've always done this in the same approach. Have fun. Let people hear you laugh. When people hear somebody having fun on their jobs, they're going to feel good about themselves, too. And now more than ever, people don't want to hear people complaining about, the Lakers and the Clippers now. We don't know who's going to win the MVP. That's all fun and game stuff. But in the real world, none of that really matters. And so it's about, yes, we can talk about when sports is coming back, when baseball, what's baseball going to do, what's football going to do, what's hockey going to do. But we have to do it in a fun way now. And as you mentioned earlier, people on radio and sports radio are having a tough time. You know, we can always do the Mount Rushmores, which are always good. We can always do different lists, but now is the time to be creative. So I always try to be creative. I always try to have fun, incorporate other things, which pretty much everybody now is doing. I mean, I was doing it for 30 years ago, and now, you know, you hear people having fun talking about stupid shows like, you know, The Tiger King and Netflix and that kind of stuff, because people who are sports fans don't just only care about sports. They care about, they have other things in life. They go outside. Well, not right now. I'm talking about a normal situation. They sit at home, watch TV at night, and they want to be entertained. They can't go to the movies anymore. And so you got to be sort of an entertainer to them as well in these times.
So do you think it's more challenging for a guy like Ben to be more entertaining with his Maller Militia? Because half the time they're not even sober anyway, and they love anything he does. That includes List Radio and
I don't
Lazy
do List Radio,
Gascon.
I'm not doing List Radio.
I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
Now don't break into a fight here now. Listen, I love Ben. I remember when Ben was just a young pup in L.A., and I'd come out there, and he said to me, "Moy, you know, you're the guy I'm..." Because, you know, Rome and I and those guys in that generation, you know, Ben was out there in California when I first met him. He was telling me all these one fun, wonderful things about having heard me when I was at ESPN. And now Ben's a legendary figure in this business, and he's got a great following. And that's what it's all about. It's about developing a core audience that likes what you do. And I said this earlier. I was talking to somebody else earlier today, and they said, well, you know, what is it that you want? What do you think that attracts people to you? And I said, I want people to like me. You know, the old Howard Cosell mentality was you had half the audience hate you and the other half of the audience like you, but they were going to listen to you no matter what. To me, I've always wanted to be the guy that everybody liked. Now, of course, there are people who aren't going to like me. But I think for the most part, those who have listened to me over the years and my P1s, as we like to call them in the world of ratings and all that other stuff, those are the people that have stayed with me wherever I've gone. And now even in the last couple of years where I haven't done any terrestrial radio except a couple of pregame shows during the football season locally, you know, I've been doing the Twitch thing. And Twitch is a big, big platform. They started adding sports content. And so I'm on there now, and I've been on there for a year. And it's fun because I get to talk to people every day. And the one thing about Twitch, talk about the generational divide, is when I talk to somebody over 30 and they say, where are you on now? I'll say Twitch. They'll say, what the hell is that? When I talk to somebody under 30, they're like, wow, you're on Twitch? And so that's the thing, is about getting people to know all these new different digital platforms, especially for the older generation that doesn't even, well, they're pretty much, they're consuming it. Anybody who has a phone now except a flip phone is basically digitally connected now. So you're getting everything in your hand as opposed to have to worry about what time the game ends and finding out where the score is. All that information is available to everybody now. So breaking news and stuff about this game is over, the point spreads and all that stuff, people get that instantaneously. We have to provide the other parts of it, the fun and entertaining parts of a world without sports every day.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, and Tony, you brought up the early days, man, and you were a big influence on me. I'm a huge Tony Bruno fan. You were awesome, and you've been very kind to me over the years. I remember we used to hang out every once in a while. I was honored. We'd hang out at, Hooters in Santa Monica, which I don't even think is there anymore, at the 3rd Street Promenade back in the day. But I should thank you. I've been at Fox. I started right around when, I think it was a week or two after the network started, but the only reason Fox Sports Radio exists, for those that are new and maybe don't realize the history, it's because of you, Tony. You are the reason that this entire network, which has been on the air now for 20 years, exists. When you made the move to come to Fox Sports Radio and do the show, you were the centerpiece. You were the rock star, and everything else was built around you. So I should thank you, because it's got to feel good that, I mean, I know you haven't been at Fox for a number of years, but the reason this thing's even around is because of your impact.
Well, thanks, but I mean, it wasn't just me. I mean, obviously, Craig Kitchen and the people who put the Fox Radio, sports radio together. You know, I left ESPN after 10 years, and they called me and said, move out to L.A. And, you know, I'd been to L.A. a million times, but I never lived there. So I moved out to L.A. and made it my home for 11 consecutive years, from 2000 all the way to 2011. And I worked with a lot of great people. I mean, I was on the morning show because they wanted me to be there. And so I did it with Andrew Siciliano, who's now on to bigger and better things, the NFL Network. And so I work with a lot of great people, no matter where I've been, and to see them continuing to excel. So I don't make things better. I've been fortunate to be in great spots. I've been handed the keys to ESPN Radio, to Fox Sports Radio, as the first voices on. And so I was privileged to work with a lot of really talented people around me, which made me better. And I hope that I always felt that the younger generations who ask me about, hey, how did you get to where you are? I'm always willing to do that. You know why? Because I had people helping me when I was 15 years old and said I wanted to be in radio. I'd call radio stations at night. You know, there wasn't a lot of sports radio, but I'd call the DJs and talk about music and tell them how I wanted to be in this business. So I got a lot of help when I was a kid, and now I try to help others by just telling them to be themselves. You know, everybody, the one question, I'm sure you guys get this too, you know, how do I be like you? How do I be like Ben Maller? And I always say to them, how do you be like Tony? You can't. You're not. You can be yourself. You can't be another Tony Bruno, but you could be yourself. And just be. Don't create an act. Don't do something. Don't be what you're not. Because if you try to do this for a long time, people will always know who you are, what you are, and you just try to stay consistent. And that's all I've tried to do for almost 50 years now in this business.
See, Tony, that's the one thing I wanted to ask you about, because you are so seasoned in this game, is that I find, at least where my perception is with guys like you and a colleague of ours here, Rob Parker, is that you guys aren't looking behind you. You're like, you're not looking over your shoulder. You're not looking behind you. You're just looking straight ahead, and you have, not to say you don't have any worries, but you're not worried about the outside noise. But what about people that are just up and coming and they're trying to get in? Because there are teams, there are organizations, and there are networks that, like, you need to have a positive spin no matter what, or you have to shade your beliefs towards one side of the aisle, and you compromise what you do as an individual or who you are for the sake of the greater good, or in some instances, especially nowadays, your paycheck. Like, how do you toe that line?
Well, I've been fortunate that for the last 5 years, you know, I haven't worked for a big company where I'm, you know, where I'm dealing with ratings every day. Not that that's bad. I mean, that's the world we live in.
Sure.
Almost every radio station that's on the air that's not a public radio station has to deal with, you know, contracts. If you work for a radio station, and everybody deals with this now for the most part, you work for a radio station that's the rights holder to a specific team, and you're a talent and you want to criticize the team, you know, right now you're under immense pressure because the partnerships between radio stations and sports franchises is now at a point where they don't want anybody who is going to criticize the product on the air, and so you're basically are hanging yourself out there every day, having to walk that tightrope. Not that you're looking to be negative, but when things are really bad, to not be able to say things on the air that everybody at home is thinking, but they know that you're not allowed to say it because you're worried about losing your job. I think that's how the business has changed more than ever before. You know, it's run by corporate America. That's the way it is. You just look recently. Entercom just got rid of a bunch of people. Beasley, earlier on March 31st, the end of the quarter year, you know, they're trying to cut back. And so it's all about a world, not just in radio, but particularly in radio, where people are losing their jobs every day because companies are under pressure to help their shareholders. And the way they make more money is spending less money. So I think that's how the business has changed. And it's not like I'm happy that I don't have somebody hanging over my head or telling me what to talk about every 15 seconds. It's just that I've done all that and I've been through that whole era from the beginning of how this starts and how you have to deal with working in. And I've always worked well with people. I've never really had problems. I've had some issues with management, but only because I was hired and then management would try to tell me to change what I was doing. And that's one of the things I've always stayed loyal to. If you hire me because you like what I've done and you see my track record, then don't try to change me and to make me what you want me to be. And I think that's the biggest problem that a lot of talent have now. They get hired to do one job, and then once they get on the air, it's like, well, that's not what we really want you to do. And so that's the power that I think we've lost as entertainers, as performers, as journalists, whatever you want to call us, hosts. There's a lot of people who walk on eggshells every day trying to do their jobs because they fear saying the wrong thing and being fired over something that 10, 20 years ago was not really a big deal.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, I know you've mentioned this, Tony, but you are a firecracker on social media. Now, people are jealous of you because you're able to say whatever you want. Now, is that going to have to change now because you're going on satellite? Are you going to be able to keep doing the same stuff you've been doing here? How's that going to work?
Yeah, I mean, one of my biggest things, Ben, and I'm not, you know, and it's funny how the world has changed where you go on social media, and my biggest problem is with media now. It's not with the people on Twitter. You know, anybody can say whatever they want on Twitter. I was a political science major in college. I'm not a political hack. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I don't really root for one party. But we live in a world now where, you know, it's easy for particularly most people in media, you know, they're primarily liberals and super progressives, and so bashing Trump every day is a fun thing to do. And so if you don't bash Trump and you say, you don't even have to be, I don't put MAGA, I don't have any of that stuff, I'm not a super right-wing guy. But now if you're not super left-wing and you're not 24/7 going crazy about everything the president does for 3.5 years, then all of a sudden you get that, well, you're a Trumper. What happened to you, man? You're a right-wing whack job. You're Alex Jones. And that's not the way I am at all. I get angry when I see media people who are supposed to be doing journalism. I'm not talking about opinions and pundits and people who make their livings off of politics and rooting for one party or one candidate. I don't do any of that stuff. I just have fun. I mock most media people who are, to me, embarrassing and shameful in the way that they become hacks for either political party. So that's what bothers me on media, and that's where I go after. I don't go after individual people, you know, who disagree with me. People come at me all the time. I go back and forth, but I'm not into name calling or threatening or any of that stuff. I just have a good time. Twitter is basically like the toy. It's like what sports radio used to be. It's the toy store for people who want to check in and have tough opinions about their favorite teams and rip coaches and call for firings. I use Twitter pretty much to promote my brand and also to have fun with nincompoops out there in positions of power. Not Joe Schmo on there, because I'm just Schmo on there just like anybody else. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I don't think my opinion matters more. But I love when people who don't know anything about politics or sports tell me that my opinion doesn't matter because they disagree with me.
Tony, what's it like right now in Philly? Because I was telling Ben this earlier, like my normal, actually our commute to the studio from where we live is anywhere from about an hour to an hour and 10 minutes. And now it's a 28 to 30 minute drive. I mean, the streets are nearly empty, and it's a rare occasion where obviously you get to breathe clean air in Los Angeles. But what about in Philly? Like, what's it been like around town, and how are people acting?
Well, I don't go out much. I mean, I don't go out much anyway, but it's pretty much a go. It's like everywhere else. I live in a very busy, my old neighbor, I actually moved back to the same neighborhood I grew up in South Philly, which is a legendary area near the sports complexes, and it's a very, very big restaurant neighborhood. I can walk 50 yards, and there's some of the best restaurants in the country here, and now they're all closed. So that's what everybody is seeing around the country. Philly's no different than any other big city. You know, streets are empty. There's not a lot going on. Downtown, the businesses, a lot of the businesses, the liquor stores are boarding up their windows. It has a really scary, like, Walking Dead kind of feel to it. Yeah. But I think people are becoming a little more, as anxious as everybody is, as stir-crazy as everybody is. I get out and walk around. Miss Robin and I go take a walk, you know, because there's nobody on the street, so we're not worried about getting into a big crowd of people or that kind of stuff and the social distancing. But I think everybody's trying to deal with this, and being stuck at home and having your TV on with all the noise on the news channels, that's the best thing. That's what I don't do. I watch the coronavirus thing every day, and then I turn it off. And so that the more you stay away from the noise and all the division and all the vitriol and all of this, that, and this guy stinks and this guy's not doing a good job, you try to get that out of your head, which is what I try to do. And then I go on Twitter while I'm working downstairs preparing for my shows, and I'll go back and forth with some people. And then for the most part, I just watch like Science Channel. I'm watching the Tiger King and all these other diversionary things that everybody's watching now when they're stuck inside.
I hope your cooking is better than Ben's, because he's tempted to do a YouTube channel on cooking, and I don't know if you've ever had his cooking, but it's not that good, Tony. So if you do anything,
my cooking's fine, Tony. Gascon, he's like, he lives west of the 405. The LA landscape, Tony. When you live west of the 405, exactly, You're a different cat. You're not a normal person when you live west of the 405.
Oh man.
Exactly. Well, you know, Miss Robin's a great cook, and Robin and I have been on a keto diet. Oh. So the funniest thing is everybody's, you know, sitting at home and eating and gaining weight and, you know, doing the normal things that I did back in October, November. I had some surgery issues, and I had like three different surgeries. And so they weren't major, weren't life-threatening, and they were just a pain in the ass, literally and figuratively. So I was going through this era where I was having surgery, and I couldn't walk around, I couldn't lift things. So what did I do? I sat around like we always do in the fall here on the East Coast when it gets cold and miserable out. You sit up late at night, you're watching TV, you know, you're watching sports, you're watching hockey, NBA, and you start eating stuff. And then it's 11 o'clock, and you go get some ice cream. And then you wake up, and you're still up, and it's 1 o'clock. You know, when you're watching TNT and the NBA on TV, TNT, the post game from the West Coast, and you eat and eat and eat. So people put on weight. I put on like 30 pounds. And so while everybody's putting the weight on now, I'm actually losing the weight. So we went on the keto diet, and Miss Robin is brilliant at it. And even though you got to give up the breads and all, as an Italian, giving up bread, giving up pizza, giving up those things, I mean, that's almost impossible. But we've been doing it, and I've lost 15 pounds in less than a month, and I got another 10 to go, and then I'll be in optimum shape so that when everything is back to normal, I'll be out there and I'll be able to come back to L.A., put the boy shorts on, or maybe the Speedos, and go back onto Venice Beach and hang out with all my boys and girls down there.
Oh, man. Your old snobby grounds in Venice Beach. I got to tell you, one of my favorite Tony Bruno stories, and to show how professional Tony was, the night of June 19th, 2000, and the Lakers had won a championship, we were broadcasting, doing local radio in L.A., and that was the Shaq Kobe, the first title together. And there was a riot that broke out across, right in front of Staples Center. We were broadcasting from the corner studio, which was, L.A. Live wasn't there, but we were in a corner studio, and I was doing a show with Dave, and then you came on, but we were, like, talking about what we were seeing as the riot was kind of starting, and you were so professional. You handled that so much better than we handled it, because it was chaos down there, Tony, that night. It was insane what was going on down there.
Yeah, again, it's, you know, you're the eyes and ears of everybody listening, and so the people who aren't there, they want to hear something that's an accurate portrayal. And so I always tried to be that. I mean, I've covered news for so long, and I've covered events. I was in, you know, at the Olympics in 76 when the Richard Jewell thing at Centennial Olympic Park. I remember being in L.A. in 84 for the Summer Olympics. John Madden and I and a couple of the producers, when I was at RKO Radio in the 80s with Keith Olbermann and Charlie Steiner and those guys, John Madden and I were in Los Angeles, and we were in Westwood Village, because John liked to go to the Pantry in L.A. all the time. That was his favorite place downtown in L.A., legendary place, the Pantry. But then we were in Westwood Village one night going out for pizza, and we're sitting in a restaurant, and there's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sitting at a table across from us. And this is now 84, where obviously L.A. is buzzing. The world's paying attention. The Summer Olympics are there. And so John Madden obviously was huge, and everybody knew who he was. We're sitting there. All of a sudden, a couple of what sounded like gunshots went off. And here we are. Now, remember, this is pre-9/11, but this is during the Olympics. And all of a sudden, all the fun and games and people looking around and talking about, hey, there's John Madden, hey, there's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, everybody immediately freaks out, and we had to go into reporter mode. So I go run to a phone, and people are calling me on my phone and saying, what's going on? Is there a terrorist attack? So people thought there was a terror attack in Los Angeles, in Westwood Village there on the UCLA campus. And so that's what happened. You got to be ready for that stuff. Nobody goes out thinking that the world's going to end or that there's going to be a pandemic. But when you're out and you hear gunfire or you hear somebody crashing into a building, the first thing you do when you instinctively, you know, have been in the media business, and I started out as a news reporter, is to go into that news reporter mode where you want to make sure you find out what's going on and you transmit that information as responsibly as you can by seeing what's on the scene and then talking to the people who know what they're talking about. So I've always had that inner instinct in me. So if something happens, I always want to make sure I know what's happening and get responsible information.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Tony, I know obviously we're in a downturn with the way that the economy has been hit right now, and obviously with the industry itself, sports and media coming to a crashing halt. But how do you go about your preparation now and just the way that you have kept yourself, you know, chin up, head down type of mentality? Because as you guys were talking about earlier, there's guys that are running thin on material, or they're kind of going through like the Mount Rushmore of sports and all the other crap. But how do you go through the process? Because I would imagine, I mean, it's like going to a baseball game, right? Like no game is ever the same as the next one. So for a show, I can imagine it's falling along the same lines for you. But what's the background for you in terms of how you rev up to how you go?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is when I started doing the Twitch thing, you know, I could have just, because I do it from my home.
Yeah.
So I walked down two flights of stairs. Robin and I redid the house that we bought. So we remodeled it. The basement looks really nice. We turned it into a little wine cellar. And so we built a little studio down there. And again, this is long before any of this stuff, where everybody's doing shows in their basement studios now. And so we had a nice little studio there, and we did it on Twitch. But I would do the same thing. Instead of just mailing it in and going down and saying, I'll just wing it for 2 hours, I would prepare just like I did for any other show that I've ever done. So I'd get up at 9. We didn't go on till 1. And I would prepare for 4 hours to do a 2-hour show. I would write little notes down. I want to make sure I knew everything was happening. And so once you get that up, once you decide, hey, you know what, I don't feel like doing it today, I'm just going to mail it in, that's when you really don't want to do this anymore, and you probably should just hang it up. But I've always tried to approach things with great preparation. I didn't need to write scripts. I would just write notes. I'd have all the scores. I'd have anything I needed, the point spreads, because we've always done this, you know, the Stone Cold Locks, and now it's bigger than ever. So I've always tried to be over-prepared. And most of the times, I'll have more material than I even could possibly use on the show. And so we incorporate music and video and stuff. Robin does a great job. We pull up the funniest videos. And being on Twitch, I don't have to worry about profanity and things. We didn't curse intentionally just to curse. But if there's a video that has profanity in it or a song where we play an old school rap song, we don't have to play the watered down versions. And so that's one of the fun things about doing radio. We don't have to worry about the FCC. And you don't do things just to be outlandish. But you can do things that you can't do on regular radio, and that's been for part of the fun of the Twitch part. And now the Twitch will remain on when I'm on the Sirius channel, and so that, there'll be a video component, which you can still see on the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/TonyBrunoShow, and also on Sirius XM. So to have the video component, not that anybody wants to see me talking on TV, but it's not just talking on TV. We do crazy stuff in the basement. We'll play darts. I'll go up and play drums when there's a music song and there's a good drum riff. I'll just get my drumsticks and bang them on the desk. You know, stupid stuff. Stupid stuff that people find funny. And that's what it is. You know, it's you're having fun. And if I don't have fun anymore, I'll either be dead or I won't be doing this anymore. Or whichever comes first.
There you go. Hey, and you'll be happy to know, Tony, that the Fox Sports Radio studios, since you left, have not changed at all. It's same equipment, same computers, same everything's the same. They have it's like a museum there, Tony, since you left. I want you to know that.
Yeah, but is it still, does Pete Rose still go to the restaurant right across the street there on Ventura and Sepulveda?
No. Rose moved to Vegas, and that restaurant changed. That Italian restaurant over there is no longer. Now it's a bar and bar restaurant. Yeah, it's not the same setup. That place closed a couple years ago. Yeah, Pete's moved on.
I thought maybe you were going to tell me that the Fox Sports Radio Studios went back to being a Denny's, which it was originally before they converted it into the Fox Sports Radio. And by the way, those are great studios there. I can't believe you're disrespecting the beautiful studio facilities with the double bulletproof glass on the outside of the building and on the inside of the building.
That's right. And I was there years ago, and somebody did shoot at the studio. Listen, Tony, I love you, man. You're the greatest. Dominate on Sirius XM, and I'm so happy you're back. I can hear you now. Everyone can hear you in the afternoon, and you're the OG, man. Good luck to you.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it, man. Always great to talk to you, Ben. We'll have to catch up soon.
All right, that was awesome. Big thanks, Tony Bruno. Loved chatting with Tony. We have a little time left, Gascon, so we can do some grab bag. Is that all right?
Yeah. Are we going to have a moment where you can actually read to me some of the positive emails that you are purposely confiscating from our general inbox? Because I heard a rumor or two that you've been doing that over the last month and a half.
No, not at all. I've not received any positive messages about you. When I do, I will start laughing and know the show's not going well at that particular moment. But we have some random questions. Let's get to as many of these as we can, Gascon, because we don't have a lot of time because we love talking to Tony and all that. This one's from Carlos in Houston. He says, Ben, when did the curse of the Bambino start and when will it end? Those are great questions, Carlos. The curse of the Bambino, the term curse of the Bambino, started. There was a caller from Detroit in the early days of the show at Fox, Motor City Mike, I believe was the guy's name, and he was a newspaper delivery guy in Detroit, and he started figuring out that every time I made a bold prediction, and I would predict things that should happen that most people thought were going to happen that didn't happen, and then he's like, you know, you're cursed. You've got the curse of the Bambino, and then that's kind of how it started. It's going to end when the Clippers win the NBA championship, which will be in December of this year when the NBA season comes back with Kawhi Leonard. So that's when it's going to end. Let's see. RJ in San Antonio writes, and he says, with no sports on, has this been the hardest time in your career as a sports radio host? I'm going to actually go no on that, RJ. And maybe it'll change, but I've been okay. There's not a lot. One of my faults, I'm a type A personality. And so when times are normal and there's a ton of stuff to choose from, those are actually harder times for me because I don't want to do something that's not an A story. I don't want to do something that's an A story. I only do an A story. I don't want to do like lower stories. So I will sometimes overlook certain things and be hyper focused on getting only the biggest stories, only the most interesting stories. But now there's not a lot of variety, so the options are limited on what we have to talk about. So it hasn't been that hard. There's still a little bit of information every day that we can talk about and kick around. So surprisingly, no. The couple of weeks after 9/11 were really, that was the hardest time for me doing this kind of stuff.
I think our podcast had you prepared for this moment. Because
are you taking credit for this, Gesco?
No, I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just saying, like, what we did with the podcast, because we had Benny versus the Penny, which embarked in September to open up week one of 2019's football season. But everything else we've done on the podcast, we've talked about fasting, we've talked about different elements of this podcast, and most of it is not sports related. So the conditioning aspect for you when you go through a 3-4 hour show and now on to this is that you've already been trained, or I guess your mind has already been trained to go off the beaten path and not always take like the low hanging fruit that everybody else does in the sports world.
Well, I've always tried to do a little things a little different. I don't want to be like everyone else. I can't stand most of the things I hear, so I don't want to do that. So I always have to have your unique spin. But to answer RJ again, it might get to that point, but we're not quite at that point. Who else do we have? A guy from Maple Grove, Minnesota. I did not write the guy's name down. Bad job by me. Says, why do most of the Ben Maller Show regular callers make Joe Exotic look completely sane? Did you watch The Tiger King, Gascon?
Fuck no. I was texting your wife, and I said I got through the first episode. I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, these people.
What's wrong with you, dude?
Oh, they're entertaining cartoon characters.
It's not entertaining.
Well, listen, you're west of the 405. For us common people, it's entertaining. Everyone loves a freak show. There's this guy, Joe Exotic, a flamboyantly gay guy that collects big cats and lives in Oklahoma. It's nuts.
Man, this is the world we live in right now.
You get to peek in on the other side. I was compelled by it. I thought it was very well done. The production value was great. They had some real characters, not just Joe Exotic. They had the guy from Inside Edition who was the videographer. They had the... You don't know any of this stuff because you didn't watch.
No, thankfully I do not. I'm not subject to that.
Bad job by you.
Ugh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but no, I said on the show that Joe Exotic seems like a kind of guy that would be one of my callers. You know, he seems like he would fit in with Doc Mike or Mark the Full Name Guy or any of these people.
Yeah.
So, Ken in Toledo writes in, this is Grab Bag, actual questions by actual listeners. Ken says, Ben and Gascon, have you ever weighed yourself, then taken a shit, and then weighed yourself after to see how much your shit weighed? It's from Ken. You ever done that?
Yeah. So what I did do is I weighed myself, took a deuce, showered, and then weighed myself again, and I lost a couple pounds.
Now, don't you weigh less early in the day?
Yes.
Or is it late? It's early in the day.
So
you want to weigh yourself in the morning.
Yes. Especially when you're on an empty stomach. So not drinking any water. I assume if you slept at least 7 or 8 hours, you haven't eaten for maybe 10 hours. That's usually when you're at your lightest. I don't understand why people go to the gym and weigh themselves. They weigh themselves at night. Like, that doesn't do anything. I mean, you're at your heaviest at that point.
Yeah. So. What I do when I go to the doctor's office every once in a while, they weigh me. And if I don't like the number that they put, I just assume it's because I have my keys in my wallet.
Oh, boy.
And my keys in my wallet weigh 17 pounds.
Your shoes, you know, too, probably, right?
My shoes, yeah, my shoes. Exactly. I'm like, okay, well, I don't weigh that much. I mean, my shoes, my wallet, my keys, that's got to be like 25 pounds altogether. Yeah.
Plus
clearly.
Plus your pajama clothing now, which is like 3 inches too big around the waist and what, like...
I don't need to shame me.
I'm not shaming
Richard,
you.
Richard in Texas writes, and he says, Ben and Gascon, which HBO series would you consider better, Arliss or Curb Your Enthusiasm? All right, I'll go first. This is not even close. Now, I liked Arliss back in the day, and I watched Arliss, but Curb Your Enthusiasm is a masterpiece. It's masterpiece theater, not even close. That is a KO first round Mike Tyson, early days Tyson knockout for Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Why was it so good for you? Before I answer, why was it so good for you?
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
I just love that brand of humor. Like I feel like I've lived my, even though Larry David's a character on a TV show, like a lot of the things that I have experienced in my life are relatable. Like I have the same when I go out, I hate the annoying things in life, and I've complained about those things way before Curb Your Enthusiasm. So it's just resonating. It's preaching to the choir, which I enjoy.
All right. Well, the reason why I ask is because I have not watched either of those shows.
Oh my God. You are so out of touch. Hold on.
HBO, the two best series that I've ever watched on there, not Game of Thrones, but The Wire and True Detective.
So I've never seen The Wire or True Detective. I love The Sopranos. Yes. That was a great show back in the day. That's, to me, the top show that HBO's had is The Sopranos, but Curb Your Enthusiasm is just outstanding.
Well, I mean, you have to watch The Wire. The Wire, I mean, True Detective Season 1 is the best of the three that they showcased. But The Wire, Season 1 to Season 5, it talks about all the nuance in the city of Baltimore. Police, politics, the dock workers, the kids in the school system. Like, it encompasses everything of that city. You have to watch it, man. It is that good.
I haven't watched. I mean,
well, you got time now.
That's a good point. I do have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Plenty. We all have a lot of time. Let's grab back. These are actual questions by actual listeners. Ethan in Akron, a.k.a. Ethan in Detroit, writes in. He says, what's the worst thing you can do while pursuing a career in sports media? So this guy, Ethan's looking for some career advice on how to get into the media business. Well, my advice, Ethan, is I don't know if it's the worst thing you can do, but I think the thing that I noticed, the reason a lot of people don't make it is not because of lack of talent. It's that they give up. And it's a business that will wear you down. And much like anything, only the strong survive. And I've noticed that a lot of people, if they don't get to a certain point and become a kingpin in the media business after X number of years, they're like, okay, I'm just not going to make it. I'm going to go do something else. And I think that's the wrong attitude. That's a loser's mentality. So I think you just got to have tenacity and you got to continue and you've got to network and all that. But I think that's the biggest mistake. The worst thing I see from people is they just give up. They don't try. What about you, Gaskin?
I think to echo that or to piggyback off of it, I would say not having any goals. I think for me, I went from a career and 100% stability in real estate to starting my entire life over when I went to grad school. So when I got out of grad school, I went and worked for two public access channels here in LA, not making a dime with a master's degree for an entire year. And when I got my first job, it was with iHeart San Diego. I took the job as a board operator. If everyone that listens to your show knows who Roberto is, I was doing his job part-time for $10 an hour. And I was doing that Monday through Friday. I was getting paid $600 every 2 weeks. But when I first started, I wrote down goals, like in terms of how I want to ascend, what I wanted to do for work. I eventually got my first on-air opportunity 6 months after I got in the door. And then I became the game day host of the Chargers, the game day host of the San Diego State Aztecs. Then I started getting play-by-play work in San Diego, then in Riverside. And then eventually I moved up to LA to work with you 14 months after I started at iHeart San Diego. But I had goals and I had benchmarks of things that I wanted to do. So if you have goals down, it puts in the front of your mind like, okay, this is what you got to do. And these are your objectives. I think the one other thing is you can't be cavalier with your social media because there's always eyes on you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can't do stupid shit on there because you'll get either exposed or it'll come back and bite you eventually. I mean, those are the two things.
So acid wash your social media
before
you get into the business.
Or if you're in it, have someone help you out.
Yeah, I've helped a few people out over the years, Gaskin.
I know.
Look to my counsel to. I know a couple of tricks on how to erase certain things that are in your past on social media.
Yeah.
That can come back to haunt you.
Yes.
Absolutely. Jason in Bakersfield writes in. He says, "What sport would be the funniest to add a mandatory amount of alcohol to?" All right. I think the obvious one would be hockey. Right? Seeing guys try to skate when they're completely schnockered.
Yeah.
Liquored up. But anything would be more... Well, we see guys play softball completely hammered, yeah. Right?
Man, I wouldn't want to have Aroldis Chapman throwing at me while intoxicated, 101 miles an hour.
Yeah, but you might. I mean, if he's schnockered, he might not be able to throw it straight, so he might not hit you.
Yeah.
You know, right? He could be so sloshed up, the ball sails in the second deck.
Maybe. But I'm a right-handed batter, so if he throws a slider, that thing's hitting me either in the hip or in the dick. Like, either way, I'm getting dotted by that thing, so...
Well, when you were playing back in the day, Gascon, you had first base was scotch, second base was whiskey, third base was bourbon, right?
That's right.
You run around the bases.
That's right. Vodka at home.
Home plate was all of it. Yeah, home plate was all of the above there. Let's see. This is Colin in Denver listening to the Fifth Hour. Writes in, he says, have either of you guys found anything similar to sports to watch that isn't reruns? And will this pandemic help to legitimize esports in general? Well, listen, Colin, I guess we'll take the last part. I think that's the more interesting question. No offense, Colin. but will this legitimize esports? I'm not convinced. I think people are watching, and the ratings have been very good for esports so far. Millions of people have been watching these things. But I think it's more a product of the times, that if you had a game with real human beings actually playing to watch, that more people would watch that and less people would watch the esports. But when you have no other options, you watch this. You know, when you have only one channel to watch, you're going to watch that one channel more than you're not going to watch the channel. So I'm not convinced that this coronavirus pandemic is going to lead to the new normal being esports. But I know it's a hell of a lot cheaper to put an esports game on than it is to put a real professional sports game on. I know that.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that too, Ben, I would rather... It's like having an automated umpire as opposed to a human being behind the dish. Like, it's nice to have someone accurately call balls and strikes properly, but there's something very human and great about dishing it out to an umpire, whether you're for him or against him, whether he has a liberal strike zone or it's really conservative. There's something about that you take away with automation. I don't want to watch a kid or an adult playing video games. I want to see people competing out there on the court or on the ice or in the field of play. Like, there's no substitute. And you'll find that out the hard way if we don't have an NFL or college football season.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Don't say that.
Come on. Sorry.
I mean, you know, wash your mouth out with soap and wine. What the hell's wrong with you to say that? Don't even put that out in the world.
Bad juju.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
all right. Jeff in Clarksville, Indiana writes, and he's just across the Ohio River from Louisville, Kentucky. He says, pull the magic radio curtain back and give us an inside look. What is something in the radio business that goes on behind the scenes that the normal listener has no idea goes on? Well, I mean, there's several ways I can answer this. I think the one thing that it's been eye-opening. I don't see it that often, but every once in a while over the years, I've worked with different people. And I'm always amazed by the guys that just kind of skate by and don't prepare. And sometimes you listen to these shows, you think, oh, man, this guy's been preparing all day. And I've known a few people that have worked in the business that literally show up 2 minutes before the show, haven't done any preparation, and they just, it's called rip and read, whatever the top stories are on the sports websites, they just kind of make it up as they go, and those people are exposed, they don't last very long, but that's something that I've seen behind the scenes that I think a lot of people assume if you have one of these jobs that you work hard, you're prepared and all that, and Not always the case. Not always the case at all. What about you, Gascon?
Yeah, they call that, whether it's in college baseball or in minor league baseball, they call it stretch and go. And usually it's in the final game of a 3 or 4 game series where the road team will come in and they won't even take batting practice. They'll warm up, they'll stretch, and then they just hit the diamond and play the game. And that's exactly what you're talking about. It is amazing to me the amount of work that certain producers will do and provide for the talent that's either on television or radio. And that individual, man or woman, has the slightest clue about what's going on. And that's for live TV, and that's for regular shows as well. So that's one thing, and I don't know if that's earth-shattering, but I think along the lines of that, there's also a lot of box score television, a lot of box score radio, and that's just basically you and I coming in the studio. Oh, the Dodgers played the A's today, and they won 7-0, but you're just going through this box score to see who did what and who didn't, and obviously just talking about the low-hanging fruit that's there, too, and that happens more often than you think.
Yeah, you can tell when they don't actually watch the games. We don't break down games very much these days in sports. We're over nothing right now, but even when games are going on, it's only usually playoff games, like big games that we'll break down, but otherwise we're talking about the stories around the games. All right, well, we got a few questions in, right? That's a good amount of questions for Grab Bag, yes.
I want to end one more.
You want me to give you one more?
One more. Let's do one more. One more shot.
Right. Let's see here. This is from Mike in Upper Michigan. Formerly, he's the guy, Gascon, that invited Weedman. He tried to help Weedman and gave him a place to stay, and then Weedman said he accused me of having him kidnapped. Nut job. I feel bad. Mike was a nice guy opening his home to Weedman, and that's the thanks. That's what we get. Yeah. Anyway, he says, what are your worst accidental grocery store purchases? Says his top three are creamy peanut butter, oatmeal raisin cookies, tuna packed in oil. He says those are his worst accidental. I don't mind creamy peanut butter. I'm fine with that. Oatmeal raisin. Yeah, I don't like oatmeal raisin cookies. I'm trying to think. Like, I've tried. I don't really buy things I don't need these days. When I go to the grocery store, I got laser focus, Gascon.
Yeah.
Laser-like focus. Okay. I go in there. I get what I need. I very rarely go off the reservation and get something I'm not supposed to get. But back in the day, my big eating days, when I was a big fat tub of goo, man, I would go in there and with any new flavor of Oreo cookies, you know, they used to try all these new, I would buy those. Any kind of weird exotic chip flavor, I would pick that up, and, you know, gallons of grape soda and all that. I would just go for it back in the day. What about you, Gascon? Any weird stuff west of the 405 you picked up?
No, but when I wanted to be a fat ass, I would always buy or get stuff that looked healthy, like vegetables or fruit. And anytime I wanted to pig out, whether I'm eating like frozen pizza or ice cream bars, I'd always put it at the bottom of my cart. So that way it looked like I was stacking everything with like healthy food. everything was healthy. So people walking by me or going to the cashier's desk, I wasn't getting judged.
Yeah. Well, that's like the people that would eat the salad and then they just put like a gallon of salad dressing on top. Yeah. So you might as well just eat a Big Mac. It's the same amount of calories. What are you doing? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Like, yeah. Which is really the only way to eat a salad is just to pour a ton of salad dressing on top of it.
Yeah. Ranch, please.
No ranch. Thousand Island. Thousand Island is my dressing of choice. That's what I go for. All right. Well, that is it. Gascon, thank you. Another wonderful edition of the Fifth Hour. Thanks again to Tony Bruno. Love Tony. Very excited to have a chance to talk to him. It's been the first time in several years that I've been able to catch up with the OG of sports radio. Now, hey, follow us on social media. I'm on the gram on Instagram, Ben Maller on Fox. You can follow me on there. Also, Ben Maller Show on Facebook and on Twitter, Ben Maller. And Gascon, you're also around those parts.
Yes, on Twitter, I'm at David J. Gascon, and the gram IG, I'm at Dave Gascon.
All right, so thanks. Tell a friend about the podcast. Be safe. We'll catch you back on the radio in probably just a few hours. Who knows, depending on how you look at it. All right, we'll talk to you then. Thanks.